أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الغر الميامين، ولعنة الدائمة الباقية على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام لميثم التمار: أخبرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن اسمك الذي سماك به أبواك ميثم. صدق مولانا رسول الله وصدق مولانا أمير المؤمنين عليهم السلام. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So today, obviously, as we will be having a majlis regarding the Tiflani Muslim tomorrow, so was a little bit difficult about which topic to speak about. So I was going through some of the dates. We have a really good website, and I'm not sure if it's in English or not. It's called Wikishia, right? So we have Wikipedia and different other websites, so we have Wikishia, right? So I was going through the dates about what events took place in the month of Dhul-Hajj. So one of the really important events that took place was the martyrdom of Hazrat Maitham al-Tammar radiallahu anhu wa rahmatullahi alayhi wa alayhi salatu wassalam. The thing is that Hazrat Maitham al-Tammar, I was thinking that tomorrow is his martyrdom, 22nd of Dhul-Hajj, and today is the eve of 22nd. So I thought to talk a little bit about Hazrat Maitham al-Tammar and to relate it with the knowledge of Imam, inshallah. I would do these things in these stages, that firstly I would talk about who was Maitham al-Tammar basically, and secondly I would connect it to the knowledge of the Imam that he has of unseen and of the cosmos, right? And the third that I would connect would be the knowledge of unseen that Maitham alayhi salatu wassalam had, that have been bestowed him by the Imams and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So first we start with this lecture, that who was Maitham al-Tammar basically. Maitham al-Tammar was an Ajam, was from Iran basically. So there were like Arabs and non-Arabs. Non-Arabs used to be called what? They were used to be called Ajam, right? So Maitham al-Tammar was from Iran. And basically when the Islamic invasion took place, Maitham was taken as a slave, and then he was sold to a lady from Banu Asad. So Maitham al-Tammar is a slave to a lady of Banu Asad. Now when Amir al-Mumin alayhi salatu wasalam looked at Maitham, he bought Maitham al-Tammar, because in old days they used to have buying and trading of the slaves, right? So Maitham alayhi salatu wasalam was being bought by whom? Amir al-Mumin alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he was being bought, Amir al-Mumin alayhi salatu wasalam freed him for the sake of Allah. Freed him for the sake of Allah. Now a question might come in, that what is this whole discussion about the slavery? You know, like it's a topic that we have to discuss. It's a separate topic that probably would need two or three majalises, or at least one majalis. Like, what is the concept of slavery within the Islam, and what Islam has done to abolish it in the best possible way? Obviously, Islam could not have changed it the first day it came in. It wanted to do things gradually and gradually in a way that it is more persistent and it continues on for long. Right? So Islam didn't come in the first day and says all kinds of slavery is abolished. No, no, no. It did through steps by step. Now one of the really important things that Islam did, and you can go through the books of the fiqh. In all this, we used to have a whole chapter that would be only on the specific topic of the slavery. It would be called Kitab al-Itaq, right? The whole chapter only on the topic of slavery. And within this, if you go through our classical literature, Wasail al-Shia. Now, Wasail al-Shia is compiled by whom? Sheikh Hur al-Amili. He was from the descendants of Sayyidina Hur, Hadrat Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi, right? He was one of those descendants, Sheikh Hur Amli, and he was from where? From Jabal Amil, from the south of like the Lebanon, right? So he was from that area, and he compiled a lot of hadith. Like, even if you go and buy Wasail al-Shia today, it's worth 30 volumes. So imagine 30 volumes of books only on the topic of fiqh and a little bit on the topic of aqidah that Sheikh Hur Amli has compiled in his book, Wasail al-Shia. In Wasail al-Shia, in one of the chapters, he is mentioning the merits of freeing a slave. Mentioning the merits of freeing a slave. So I would like to quote some of the hadith from that specific chapter, right? It's although it's in Arabic, but I'll just translate a little bit into English so we can get a little bit of the gist that how Islam promoted in abolishing the system of slavery in a really gradual manner, but in a really, really effective manner, right? So what was the first thing that did? There's a hadith that goes from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The hadith says, لَقَدْ أَعْتَكَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَلْفَ مَمْلُوكٍ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. That Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam freed 1,000 slaves for the sake of Allah. 1,000 slaves. You know, even if we take one slave worth 500 dirhams, I'm just counting really like in a really pessimistic way. Sometimes the slaves used to be expensive. Even if it's worth 500 dirhams, 500 dirham was the mehr money that the Prophet used to give to his wives, right? So whenever he would marry someone, he would give 500 dirham as his the mehr money. Now imagine the mehr money of this society. On average, how much is the mehr money? In general, I'm telling you that. Like a rough estimate, it's like worth $5,000. So if you multiply 5,000 by 1,000, how much is it? 5 million. 5 million worth of money Amir al-Mu'mineen only spent, and he spent that amount of money only to free the slaves that he had. Only to free the slaves that he had. Now we have another hadith. There are two hadiths basically. One is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, and the other one is from Imam Baqir. And the Imam is quoting from Rasulullah. What does it say? It says, "Man a'taka nismatan salihan liwajhi Allah." Oh, "Man a'taka musliman wahida." If anyone could free one slave, one pious person, one Muslim, kaffarallahu anhu bikulli 'udhuwin minhu 'udhuwan min an-nar, then Allah would free his whole body because of the act that he has done. In old days, imagine, you know, in old days, people used to be really fond of like keeping as many slaves as they can. If you would go into the darbar of one of these caliphs of Banu Abbas or Banu Umayyah, they would have in thousands of slaves they would have. You see, like the one way they would have people like these, and then we would have the imams of Ahlul Bayt. And you know, one important hadith, just to mention it, and inshallah, then we will come to the topic of Maytham. Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about his father, Imam Baqir. He says that when my father was on his deathbed, he had 60 slaves. And in those times, he freed one third of them, 20 of them. So imagine he had 60 slaves. And remember, imams would only keep the slaves not to serve them. Please try to understand this point. Not to serve them. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam used to run a whole program. Inshallah, if I'll get time one time, we'll talk about the way Imam Zain al-Abidin used to do the tarbiyat of the ummah. What he would do is that he will buy the slaves, teach them for the whole year, and once they have become faqih, and once they have the right knowledge, and once they have the knowledge enough to propagate the message of Ahlul Bayt, he would use to free them after the end of the year. So imagine this is the concept that the Islam of Ahlul Bayt have taught us. Not the Islam of Umayyah, not the Islam of Saqifah. Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. You know, freeing the slaves, giving the liberty, giving the hurriyah to everyone, right? Now we start the topic of Maytham al-Tammar. Maytham al-Tammar means freed now. Now, both Maytham and Amir al-Mu'mineen are having conversation. Amir al-Mu'mineen asks, "Ma ismuka?" What's your name? Maytham replied, "Salim." My name is Salim. Now here the knowledge of the Imam comes in. Imam says, "Akhbarani Rasulullah, Prophet has told me, inna ismaka alladhi sammaka bihi abwaak, that the name that your parents have kept for you, is what? Maytham. Maytham. And Maytham, as soon as he heard this name, he says, Sadaqallaha wa rasuluhu wa sadaqta ya amir al-mu'mineen. That Allah is telling the truth to, His Prophet is telling the truth to, and you, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you're telling the truth to. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen said a really good line. He said this, and it's really, really important for us to understand. He says, فَرْجِعِ الْإِسْمِ أَلَّذِي سَمَّاكَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He said to Maytham, Maytham, change your name from Salim to the original name that you had of Maytham. Why? Because this was the name that the Prophet used to call you from. Maytham al-Tammar, he didn't even accept the Islam in the time of the Prophet, right? But Prophet used to remember him. Prophet used to praise him. Prophet used to tell about Amir al-Mu'mineen. He would tell to Amir al-Mu'mineen about whom? About Maytham al-Tammar. Something that we should reflect upon. As soon as Maytham heard this, he changed his name to Maytham again, and he made his kunya as what? Abu Salim. So you see the taslim that Maytham had? The taslim, as soon as he heard the message of Ahlul Bayt, he didn't question, Mawla, but I think Salim looks better to me, right? No, as soon as he heard, Mawla has said this, he said, I'll change my name right now, there and then. This is the taslim that our imams want from us, right? As soon as they give you an advice, as soon as they give you an order, there's no if and buts to those order, right? Try to do that, implement that as soon as possible. One message that we can get from the conversation that Maytham and Amir al-Mu'mineen is having. Now, I'm telling you that Amir al-Mu'mineen, by quoting the name, the real name of Maytham, was trying to indicate his knowledge of unseen. Right? No one knew. Maytham was living where? In Kufa. Where was he taken from? From Iran. At that time, there was no Facebook, there was no WhatsApp, there was no Twitter. No one knew actually about the name of Maytham. Aslan. Only the people used to call him by his name Salim. But imams would have the knowledge of unseen, right? Let me quote you like three or four examples of the knowledge that imams have, right? Sometimes we would see like, oh, imam was more knowledgeable than Abu Hanifa. Of course, we would say this. But in which way? Did imam know more hadith than Abu Hanifa? Did imam know more tafsir than Abu Hanifa? That Abu Hanifa used to know about tafsir like word 30 volumes and imam would know word 60 volumes? Or did imam had more knowledge about the theology? That imam had more knowledge about the Arabic grammar? No. When we say imams have more knowledge than the people that were contemporary to them, it means that the imams possess the knowledge of the unseen. Please try to understand. This is the thing that differentiates them from others. Right? Not only the knowledge of jurisprudence, not only the knowledge of fiqh or hadith or tafsir or of these subjects, right? Their knowledge of the whole cosmos, of the whole galaxy, right? Let me give you an example. Aban bin Taghlab. Aban bin Taghlab, a really respectful companion that is sitting with Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He said a person came in from Yemen. Now a person came from Yemen. Imam alayhi salatu was sitting, alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting with Aban. As soon as Imam saw him, Imam said him, Marhaba bika ya Sa'd. O Sa'd, welcome to you. As soon as he heard this, he says, Bihadha al-ism sammitni ummi. This is the same name that my mom has kept me. وَمَا أَقَلَّ مَنْ يَعْرُفُنِي بِهَا. And so many less, like so less people would only know me with this name. People would only call me with whatever name that they used to call me, but only my really, really close family used to know my this name, Sa'd. And as soon as he heard them, he was impressed. He was overtaken by the knowledge of Imam. Right? Second example, and this is the example that we hear every time when we're sitting. And this example is not from the Shia book, right? The first example probably was from the book of Sheikh Suduq. The book name is Al-Khisal, right? The second example is from Tabari. Tabari has a whole history. The name of the book of his history is what? Tarikh al-Umam wal-Muluk, right? This is the name of his book. He mentions it. He mentions it when Hur alayhi salatu wasalam was about to die on the plains of Karbala. We have heard this story, right? But we need to reflect upon the knowledge of Imam. Hur alayhi salatu wasalam was on the plains of the Karbala. Imam came near to Hur. And Imam says, Anta hurrun kama sammatka ummuk. Oh Hur, you are actually Hur. You are actually a free person. The way your mom has named you Hur. How did Imam came to know? Like generally, when we would be named, we would be named by our parents, right? By both mom and dad, right? But Imam is saying, no, Hur, you were not named by your father. You were named by whom?
by your mother. أنت حر في الدنيا وسعيد في الآخرة. You are a free person in this earth and you will be a successful person in the hereafter. Right? Something that tells you the knowledge of the Imam. And the third example, and this third example is really important. Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. Right? I'm just quoting a quotation that is present in the books of Rijal. Right? Abu Khalid al-Kabuli used to be someone that wouldn't believe in the imamate of the imams, right? At that time, there was a maslak, there was a figure. People used to believe that he was the imam of the time. And that figure was Muhammad bin Hanfiya, right? People used to believe that after Imam Hassan and after Imam Hussein, who was the imam? Muhammad bin Hanfiya. These people used to be called what? Kaysaniya. Right? Remember the name. Remember, if you don't even remember, but just remember the concept, right? After Imam Hussein, who used to be their Imam? Muhammad bin Hanfiya, right? Muhammad bin Hanfiya was who? Was the brother of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. So one day, Abu Khalid al-Kabuli, he used to call himself as Abu Khalid. And where was he from? From Kabul, from Afghanistan. Abu Khalid used to serve Muhammad bin Hanfiya every day. One day he was talking to Muhammad bin Hanfiya, and he used to think Muhammad bin Hanfiya as his Imam. This is a separate topic. What did Muhammad bin Hanfi actually believed in it or not, right? But people used to associate imamat with him. Then he said one day, while he was serving Muhammad bin Hanfiya, "Inna li hurma," that I have a certain sense of respect in your eyes. "As'aluka bihaqqi Rasulillah wa bihaqqi Amirul Mu'minin." I ask you a really important question by giving you the wasila of Rasulullah and who? Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salatu wassalam. Now you can imagine how important this question would be. How important this question would be that he is giving the wasila of whom? Of Rasulullah and Amirul Mu'minin. Allah akhbartani. Can you please answer me one question? Hal antal imam alladhi faradallahu ta'atahu? Are you the imam that is wajib on the people to follow them? Are you the imam muftaraz al-ta'a? Are you the imam that should be followed by everyone? As soon as Muhammad bin Hanfiya heard this, he says, "Alayya wa alayka wa ala kulli muslim imam huwa Ali ibn al-Husayn." That for you, for me, for every Muslim, there's only one imam. His name is Ali ibn Husayn, Zain al-Abidin. And then, as soon as Abu Khalid heard this, he went to go and meet whom? Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. Please, I need all of you to concentrate here. He went to meet Imam Zain al-Abidin. As soon as Imam Zain al-Abidin saw him walking here, he says, "Marhaba bika ya Kankar." Oh Kankar, welcome to you. As soon as he heard this, he went on to the prostration, he went into the sujood. And he said a really important line, "Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yamitni hatta ariftu imami." All praise to Allah who didn't let me die until I knew who my imam was. See, this person was sincere in his belief, was really, really sincere. And since he was sincere, as soon as Imam saw him, Imam called him by his real name, Kankar. You know, Kankar is not an Arabic name. You go through the books of Rijal. And even today, I think you haven't heard this name Kankar. In Urdu, we say Kankari, for the stones, right? But Kankar is, no one names Kankar, right? Kankar is a really, really specific name. So Imam said, "Oh Kankar, you didn't used to visit us. What made you visit us today?" As soon as Abu Khalid or Kankar, when he heard this, he said, "Imam, one day I used to serve Muhammad bin Hanfiya. And one day I was sitting with him, I gave him the wasila of Amir al-Mu'minin and Rasulullah and asked him who the real imam was. And he told that it was you who was the imam. So I came here to see whether you were the imam or not. And you call me by the name that my mom has kept that." And what was that name? That name was Kankar. And you know the name, my mom used to name me Virdan, but my father came in and my father and mom then had a consensus that they would name me Kankar. So imagine, firstly he was named as Virdan, then his name was changed to Kankar, and after Abu Khalid al-Kabuli was done telling the whole conversation, he said a really important line. He says, "Ashhadu annaka imamun man fi dunya wa imamun man fi sama." Oh Imam, I give this testimony, I give this shahadat that you are the imam of the people that are on the earth, and you are the imam of the people that are on the heaven and skies. Right? This is what Kankar said, right? And this is where we need to understand the status that imam has. Imam is not only the imams of the Shias. He's not only the imams of Muslims. He is not only the imams of Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, Muslim, Christian, and Jews. He's not only the imams of the humanity, the people, right? He's not only the imams of the creatures that are on the earth. He's the imams of all the galaxy, all the cosmos, all the natural phenomenon that can possibly come into your mind. He has authority over that, and that wilaya is called wilayatul taqwiniyah. The authority of cosmos that imam had. And that's why Kankar said. And imam, when he heard this, he never said, Kankar, you're saying wrong. Imam said, yeah, you are saying the right thing. Why? Because yes, I am the imam of the people that are residing on the earth, and I am also the imam of the people that are residing in the skies. And when we are talking about the names of the mother, so let me just go to a hadith, a narration that is quoted by Sahih Muslim. And this quotation is obviously in the books of Sahihain, the most authentic book. And the narrator is mentioning about the event of Khaybar. I really need all of you to concentrate here. The narrator is mentioning the event of Khaybar. It says that when Marhab came in to fight Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam, he says, لَكَدْ عَلِمَتْ خَيْبَرْ أَنِّي مَرْحَبٌ, that all of the Khaybar know that I am the Marhab. Shakiyu Silah Batalun Mujarrab, that I am the one who is loaded with weapons and who is a seasonal warrior, and Marhab is coming in to fight. And then there was another person that came in to fight. He says, Ana alladhi sammitni ummi haydara kalaythan ghayabin karihal manzara aw fihim bisa'i kayla sandara, that I am the one whose mother has name is Haydar. And who is this Haydar? Haydar is the one who is the slime, that when it goes into the forest, all the animals that are present there, they go to their shelter. As soon as they look into that lion Haydar, and that Haydar is someone who has been attacked one time, he replies them in a manifold way, in a better attack, in a bitter attack, in an attack which is really, really detrimental. This is Haydar. Ana alladhi sammitni ummi Haydara. I am the one whose mother has named him what? Haydar. Right? So this is what the names. And all days you go, there are so many examples that you would have. The imams would tell that this was your name that your mother or your father have kept. And this tells you the knowledge of imam. Inshallah, one day if we have more time, we can discuss a little bit about the knowledge that imam has of the cosmos, of this universe, of the skies, right? That's why Amir al-Mu'mineen used to say, right? Saluni, saluni, kabla an yafkiduni. Right? Ask me, whatever you need to ask me. Wa ana a'lamu bi turq as-samaa aktharu min turq al-ard. That I know the ways of the heavens more than the ways of the earth. Right? This is mashallah. We have one time we have people like Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then you have another kind of people that would say, Lawla Aliyun lahalaka fulan. That if it wouldn't be for Amir al-Mu'mineen, fulan would be devastated, he would be destroyed, right? So you have one way that is dependent upon the knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Amir al-Mu'mineen is someone who is not dependent upon knowledge of anyone. So here, this is the knowledge that Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt have. And this knowledge is not only associated, or is not only khas with them, right? They have even given this knowledge to their servants too. And one of the servants that we're talking about today is whom? Maytham bin Yahya at-Tamar. Tamar is who? One who sells dates, right? Tamar. Tamar is one. Like in Khoja's brother, we have the Chaiwala and we have different ones. So you used to be a Khujurwala at that time, right? Someone that used to sell dates at that time, right? So Maytham al-Tamar, and Amir al-Mu'mineen used to give him so much respect that he would come into the shop of Maytham. And when Maytham won't be there, Amir al-Mu'mineen used to do buying and selling and trading of his shop. You know, the manzila that Maytham al-Tamar had. And the knowledge was so profound. See, Maitham al-Tammar, when was he martyred? 22nd of Dhul-Hajj, 60th Hijrah. And when did Karbala took place? 10th of Muharram, 61. So he wasn't able to support Imam Hussein. Why? Because he was killed by whom? By Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad Mal'un. He killed Maitham al-Tammar. And he was being imprisoned. You know, the one common objection that is being put forward is that where were the Shias of Kufa when Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was being martyred? So one of the answers that we have is that there were so many companions, there were so many Shias at that time that were either killed or they were being imprisoned when the Karbala was taking place. And one of the examples is of Maitham al-Tammar. And who was he with? With Mukhtar bin Abi Ubaidah Thaqafi. You know, Mukhtar and Maitham had a conversation in which Maitham informed him, see his knowledge, Maitham informed him that, oh Mukhtar, you would be free from this prison. And when you will be free from this prison, you will be able to avenge the killing of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. You would be the one that will be killing the killers of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. This is one example of Maitham knowledge. Second example, and this example is so beautiful. Really, really beautiful. He is coming to meet Amirul Mumineen alayhi salatu wasalam. Please recite salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So he's coming to meet Amirul Mumineen. And Amirul Mumineen is sleeping in his house. Or is sleeping somewhere, right? He comes in and he says, Intabih ayyuhar na'im. The person who's sleeping, let it be known. Wallahi lataghdabanna lahiyyatuka min ra'sik. That you will be struck, or a strike would take place on your head in such a way that the blood that would come from your head, it would make your whole beard red. لَتَغْضَبَنَّ لَحِيَّتُكَ مِنْ رَأْسِكَ. And then Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salatu wasalam reciprocated it. He said the same lines too, that Maitham, you would be killed because of the love that you have for us. Your hands would be chopped off, your legs would be chopped off, and also the tongue that you are using to promote the message of Ahlul Bayt, this will be chopped off too. The third example, Maitham was going into one of the boats, right? And that boat was in the river of Euphrates, Darya al-Furat, right? He was going there. And then suddenly, the air started flowing. You know, the air started gushing a lot. And as soon as he saw what's going around, he came out and he said that this is the time Muawiyah has gone to the hellfire, right? So people ask, really? Like, is this the time? And then they calculated the time when the news came from Damascus. Where's River Euphrates? Where was Maitham at that time? He was in Kufa. And where did Muawiyah die? He died in Sham, in Damascus, right? So it takes like 4 or 5 days for the news to come from one place to another city, right? So Maitham was able to know this news. Why? Because Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salatu wasalam already informed him.
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This science of knowledge that Maitham had, it was not only for Maitham only. It was also for Habib ibn Mudahir al-Asadi. It was also for Rushayd al-Hajari. Now, one time, Maitham and Habib bin Mudahir, they were coming and they were going into the streets of Kufa. Both of them came forward and they started talking of how one would be killed, right? So Maitham started the conversation. He said, I'm looking at a man who would be killed because of his love for the grandson of the Prophet. Right? And then another, like Habib bin Mudahir said, I'm looking at a man who would be killed because of the love of the wasi of the Prophet, the successor of the Prophet. And the people that were there, they're saying, these two people are such a big liars. You know, this hadith is mentioned by Kishi. Kishi mentioned this report, right, in his Rijal. They said, they both are such a big liars. How can they predict what's going to happen to them in future, right? And then they part away and then they went. Then Rushayd al-Hajari came in. Rushayd, another person who was killed because of his love for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Rushayd al-Hajari, right? Rushayd came in and people started talking about what conversation actually took place. Rushayd said, yes, yes, this even will also happen. But Allah have mercy on Habib, or Allah have mercy on Maytham. They forgot to mention that when the head of Habib would come in, they would take 100 dirham from another person to give that head for little moment. Like they will take 100 dirham so that they can give the head of Habib to his son for few moments. So they will charge $100, I'm saying 100 dirham at that time. As soon as they heard what Rushayd al-Hajari was saying, they all said, Rushayd is a bigger liar than Maytham and Habib bin Mudahir al-Asadi. Without realizing that they were being given special knowledge by whom? By the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is what happened. The narration continues and it says that the people of Kufa, they saw it through their own eyes of whatever events took place. And all of them, whatever they were saying at that time, all of it came true. One message that we can take from the life of Maytham, and it's really important. I'm going to talk a little bit about the progeny of Maytham al-Tammar, inshallah. Then we will connect it with the Masaib portion, inshallah. I was given member 5 minutes late, so I'll end, inshallah, 5 minutes late too. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Maytham al-Tammar had 4 sons, right? And see the way Maytham used to take care of them in a way that Maytham instilled the love of Ahlul Bayt in all four of them. First was Imran bin Maytham al-Tammar. Imran, one name is Imran, one of the sons, his name was Imran. He used to be a companion of whom? Imam Zainul Abidin, right? Second name, Salih bin Maytham al-Tammar. Second son, his name was Salih. He used to be companion of both Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhim as-salam. Right? Third example, Shu'ayb. He used to be companion of whom? Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Likewise, he had a 4th son, his name was Hamza. And within the progeny of Maytham, there was a huge personality, huge theologian, right? Someone who was really good in ilmul kalam. His name was Ali, who was a son of Ismail. Ismail was son of Shu'ayb. Shu'ayb was son of Maytham. So he was a great-great-grandson of whom? Maytham al-Tammar, right? He used to be a big theologian of Shia fiqh. Someone who would defend Shia madhab. Someone who would debate with others to defend the madhab of Shia. This is the tarbiyah. This is the training that Maytham al-Tammar gave to his sons. And this translation of the love of Ahlul Bayt not only was limited to his sons, it went on to their grandsons too. It went on to their great-great-grandsons too. And this is a knowledge. This is one message that we can also take. One message we talked about was the message of Taslim. Was the message of, you know, whenever you hear the hadith of Ahlul Bayt, you know, acting upon that hadith is important as soon as possible. That's one message. And second message that we can take, especially for elders, right, is to instill the love of Ahlul Bayt within their progeny, within their children. It is so, so important. The love of Ahlul Bayt, the true knowledge of Islam. You know, at that time, what was the test? The test was the love of Ahlul Bayt at that time, right? Perhaps the society that we are living in, you know, it's easy for us to proclaim us as Shias of Ahlul Bayt. No one would come us and no one would chop our hands and no one would, you know, chop our faces, right? Why? Because now it's okay to deal with it. Perhaps we would have a bigger challenge of the society right now. The challenge might be of what? Atheism. The challenge might be of what? Agnosticism. There might be so many isms that we are confronted with every day. And we as a parent, what we have done basically, what we have done in order to inculcate the message of Islam properly? Have we done enough that we can have progeny like Maytham al-Tammar? Are we sure that we have scholars within ours? And when I say scholar, I don't mean that they should come on the minbar and they should propagate the message. If someone has it, this is a really good blessing. But even if someone doesn't have a progeny like this, when I say scholar means someone who knows about their deen. Someone who is, when he's confronted with different ideas, they know how to answer that. This is what do I mean by when I say scholar, right? So Maytham al-Tammar is a role model that we should follow. You know, we always say, And we say when we are reading the ziyarah, what do we say? فَيَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. Oh, Aba Abdullah, may I be ransomed to you, oh Sayyid al-Ahrar. I wish if I could be with you and your companions, and perhaps I would have got the same fate as they would have got. Right? We have this niyat, right? Imagine we want to be part of the army of whom Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. We have this wish. But the hadith, Umm Salama mentions that Imam used to, look, we have this niyat to be part of the army of Imam Hussein. We are discussing about the message of Imam Hussein a lot. We talk about Imam Hussein a lot, right? Now, who Imam Hussein used to talk about? That's a question that we might have, right? Umm Salama, salamullah alayha. Umm Salama, who is the mother of the believers, right? She said that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam yadhkuruhu maytham kathira. He used to talk about Maytham a lot. You know, when we talk about Karbala, we have names like Muslim ibn Aqil. We have names like Abbas bin Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Fadl Abbas. We have names like Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam. We have all these big names. But we can also reflect upon the names that were being killed because of their love of Ahlul Bayt. And if they were not killed at that time, they would definitely would have come and supported Imam Hussein in Karbala. And one of the names is Maytham al-Tammar. Still, when you go to Masjid al-Kufa today, right? I'm not sure. We're coming from the Najaf area, right? So whenever we come to Masjid al-Kufa, it's always Maytham's Zarih, the first thing to look at. Then we go to right at the end to Masjid al-Kufa, right? So even the visitors, when they want to visit that blessed mosque, who is the one that's welcoming them? Maytham al-Tammar, right? And you know, the same Maytham al-Tammar, he was given a glad tiding. You know, we said that, you know, Maytham al-Tammar was killed like this or was killed like that, right? But one day Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salatu wasalam was having conversation with whom? Was having conversation with Maytham. He said that, oh Maytham, shouldn't I give you glad tidings? And then Maytham said, yes Mawla, what are those glad tidings? Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh Maytham, your hands will be chopped off. Your legs will be chopped off. And your tongue would be taken away from you because of your love of Ahlul Bayt. So when he was able to go and see Ibn Ziyad at that moment, Ibn Ziyad had a conversation with him. And Ibn Ziyad said, I would kill you in a way which is completely opposite to what your Mawla has said. I wouldn't cut your tongue. I would just cut your legs and hands. And I would put you on a cross. You know, in old days, they would put on the cross, and that death used to be so difficult. One of the most difficult that you can ever come across is a death that you would have on the cross. Like a person would die taking 2 days, sometimes taking 3 days, right? They would put a hole in the bodies on different areas, and the blood would keep out coming from it, unless a person would lose all of his energy, all of his blood, and eventually he would die. This is the death of cross, right? So he would put on the cross. Imagine with no legs, with no hands, Maytham is on the cross in one of the tree. And when Maytham went there, he said, even though I don't have my hands, even though I don't have my legs, but still Allah has given me this tongue. And as soon as Maytham was standing there, he started talking about the fadail of Amir al-Mumineen, about the fadail of Banu Hashim. Unless a messenger came to Ibn Ziyad and told him, oh Ibn Ziyad, if Maytham is not being taken care about right now, he would change the perception of all the people. And Maytham was finally, his tongue was cut into the pieces, his tongue was taken out from the back, and then finally Maytham left this world. But I would say to Maytham, oh Maytham, when you were leaving this world, you were given a proper burial. You were taken properly, you were being washed. But let's just go to Karbala and on to the place of Karbala, when there is one body which is beheaded. And Umar ibn Saad is saying to the people that, oh people, trample the body of Aba Abdullah. The people
people started going on to the body of Imam Hussein, the ribs and the flesh of Imam Hussein. It mixed with the plain of the Karbala.
وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّمٌ قَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ.
O Allah, we ask by the wasila of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We give you the wasila of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. We give you the wasila of Maytham al-Tammar. And we give you the wasila of all the companions that were loyal to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. O Allah, accept our hajat and all the wishes that we have, be it the wishes of ours, be it the wishes of our parents, be it the wishes of our family. O Allah, fulfill all the hajat. And O Allah, make this majlis as one of your majlis that you like the most. And O Allah, make us all among the companions of Imam Sahib al-Zaman. And O Allah, when we are about to die, O Allah, please try to help us in pronouncing the aqeedah in a right way, especially the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. O Allah, please keep us steadfast on the path of Ahlul Bayt and on the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.